This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we have part two of the excerpt taken from Jeremy Steinberg's teaching the Platinum Performance USDF Region 3 Junior Young Rider Clinic, where he talks about the importance of connection and how to improve it. Part one was aired last week. Before that, we hear from Deirdre Melberg, who attended the USDF Adult Clinic that was held in Windy Knoll Farm in Magnolia, Texas, from April the 11th to the 12th. That clinic was presented by Betsy Steiner and Kathy Connolly. But first, an item of news to remind you that the deadline for the USDF to receive nominations for the Rumor Foundation USDF Hall of Fame and the USDF Lifetime Achievement Awards is May the 1st. And for those of you who were following the Ream Acra FEI World Cup Dressage Finals that took place in Las Vegas last week, Britain's Charlotte Dujardin with Vallegro took the title again with a score of 94.196. In second place was Glocks Undercover, ridden by Edward Gall of the Netherlands. And in third place, Yune BB with Jessica von Bredow-Werdl, representing Germany. The fourth place went to Laura Graves with Verdades. And the USEF has just named the Pan American Games European CDI Observation Event Squad. Among those in the big tour will be Stefan Peters with Legolas, and also with Rosamond. Completing the Big Tour 4 will be Alison Brock from Loxahatchee, Florida, with Roosevelt, and Kathleen Rain from California with Brianna. The four riders in the small tour are Kim Herslow from Stockton, New Jersey, with Rosemarin, Olivia Legoy-Wells from Reston, Virginia, with Racing's Lenoir, Sabine Schutt-Kerry from Thousand Oaks, California, with Sanseo, and Casey Perry from Orangeville, California, with Gertlingard's Doublet. And now Deirdre Melberg joins us to tell us about her experiences at the recent USDF Adult Clinic that was held at Windy Knoll Farm in Magnolia, Texas. Was it a venue that you were familiar with? Had you ridden there before?
Yes, I've been riding at Windy Knoll, showing there for maybe about 10 years. So I've been there quite a few times.
Right, so you're quite used to the atmosphere then and the people. And what about the horse, though, that you were riding? Tell us about him, and was he used to being there?
Yes, he's a six-year-old, so I still consider him a baby. But he had shown there in 2013, so this was his second time there.
Right, and tell us a little bit about your relationship with him then, the partnership. When did that begin, and what have you done with him? And then talk about what your expectations were with him, what you wanted out of that clinic, Deirdre, with this horse.
I call him Zozo. His name's not Zoe, but his nickname is Zozo. So I got him when he was a weanling. He's out of a stallion that I trained and ride, and I've raised him since. You know, he was a baby. And my goals for this clinic were to get him a little bit more through. He places his head nicely, but he doesn't quite push all the way through the back. So we worked a lot on getting him to connect through into the outside rein. And Betsy did that with me through work with Turn on the Forehand.
And what other exercises did she do, and did Kathy work with you as well?
Kathy worked with me on getting him to be a little bit more active in the right hind. The first day he was proving to be a little bit slow in that right hind, even after the connecting to the outside rein. So the first day was with Betsy, and then the second day with Kathy, she built on to the connection to the outside rein by getting him to step up a little bit quicker by use of the half halt. You know, the way she described it was quite amazing. He got some amazing results out of him.
So were they kind of light bulb moments for you then, Deirdre, as you followed the process over the 2 days to use these other tools that you hadn't used before to achieve these goals?
I took a lot away from this clinic. With myself, with for my horse, the use of the half halt, the way they explained how to use the half halt, the way they explained how to use my body in order to gain more power out of my horse. It was amazing.
What were your expectations, though, of Betsy and Kathy? Had you ridden with them before?
I haven't. I met Kathy in Florida for the Young Rider Graduate Program in 2012 once, and I read Betsy's book, but I hadn't ever met her. And I was expecting pretty much exactly what I got. Kathy's a great coach. She had an amazing way to explain how to do these exercises. And then Betsy's understanding of how the rider's body works just made it so much easier to understand and to do for myself.
Give us a sense of how that felt for you, though, Deirdre. You know, when you knew what he was like going into the clinic and what you needed to take away, what you were going to do with those exercises. Talk us through how he responded at the beginning and then how he felt differently afterwards.
The first day, Friday, when we got to work with him shortly, he was very tense. He's quite a spooky horse. I wasn't quite sure how he was going to react to the crowd, but their way of working with us really kept me relaxed, kept him relaxed. And then they worked through the exercises until the horse said, I'm too tense, I can't do this anymore. And they were able to switch gears so quickly in order to keep the horses as relaxed as possible. And the third day by far felt the most relaxed for me and my horse. There was minimal spooking and I was able to work through the exercises that we had done the day before into the second day or the third day and get the results that I was looking for sure.
And how does this compare what you did with him there with other clinics that you've attended?
I feel that these two ladies really have a way of honing in on exactly what needs to be worked on and concentrating on that. We didn't run through movements. We used movements in order to improve what I needed to work on. But it wasn't about making sure that we had all the movements. It was making sure that all the basics were there in order to do more and more.
So compared to all the other people that you've ridden and trained with, then, Deirdre, how would you characterize their style of coaching that you obviously found very adaptable for you and your horse that over that clinic?
Mm-hmm. What I found is that they trained me and my horse in order to have a plan for when I left. It wasn't a coach that was in my head every step of the way and made my horse look fabulous at the clinic because they told me what to do every second of the ride. It was more of, this is what's going on. What does it feel like? How do you fix it? So I'm able to leave and say, okay, I know what I was feeling. I know how it feels when it's wrong. I know how it feels when it's right. And I can continue with their training. So I left with a plan.
So what kind of plan now do you have for that horse? And also talk a little bit about your coaching style now. Have you picked up anything from these two that you would use yourself when you're training?
Well, first off, with my horse, I've continued the exercises, and I've also started playing with a little bit of, they told me what the next step of the exercise would be, so I started playing with that a little bit, seeing if we can pull it off, and if I can't, we back it off, we bring it back, the original exercise that they had explained to me. And then as far as coaching my students goes, I actually had an example today. I was working with one of mine. And I was explaining to her how Kathy's half halt worked, plus how Betsy explained how to use the power through your back, how it starts from your shoulders and works down into your lower back and out of your core and into your hands. And I left her alone for a couple minutes. I had to run off and do something. And I came back, and that was amazing. That made such a difference. So I feel like I've been able to communicate their ideas to my students, and it's making a good difference for them as well.
So the event itself in total, what would you take away and what would you tell other people who were thinking, maybe I'll have a go at an adult clinic in future?
I wish all of my students could have been in this clinic. I had an amazing time. And if people have the opportunity to ride with these two ladies, it's a must for sure.
So a very positive experience for you and obviously for the horse as well, who settled obviously over the couple of days then, went into a little bit anxious and came away from it a lot more confident by the sounds of things and used to the atmosphere too.
Oh, for sure. And we have a competition this weekend, and you know, we were able to come away from the clinic feeling confident for the competition. So,
terrific. Well, the very best of luck this weekend. Thank you very much indeed for coming on the program, Deirdre.
Thank you.
And our thanks to Fran Kerr of Windy Knoll Farm for enabling us to use this venue for the clinic, and also to Leslie Roer, who is the president of the Houston Dressage Society, for organising the event. You'll find a link in our show notes that will take you to the website for the full list of clinic dates and events. And now we have the second part of the presentation that Jeremy Steinberg made at the Platinum Performance USDF Region 3 Junior and Young Rider Clinic, in which he addresses the importance of improving and maintaining a good connection.
The push and the length of stride, driving up to the contact, the length of stride, is what gets them looser. The length of stride is where the power comes from, or where the swing of the trot is living. The more swing, the more power, the more looseness. The looser he gets, the better he's going to connect, and vice versa, right? The more they connect, the looser they become. So what you always want to be thinking, the swing of the trot is where the looseness lives. The jump of the canter is where the looseness lives in the canter. The quality of gait. So if at any point in time I feel they're getting softer in the canter, softer in the trot, push for more gait quality. Not going, I'm supposed to be adding power to make them spectacular, but thinking I'm adding the power to get them looser. So what I want to think is, at any moment, if the trot starts to settle, if his mouth is calm, if he lets you take the contact, if his back's starting to come up, I'm going to be pushing at him. I'm not going to go, that's good enough. I'm going to go, quietly, give me a little more. So that I'm exploiting the looseness as it starts to come out onto the playing field. As I start to feel it set in, I'm going to start to go, that's a good feeling in your body, so let's have more of it. So that in mind then, the bigger I can get the trot stride, the looser I get him. The more ground covering I can make the trot, the better connected he's going to get. There's a danger zone with that though, right? If I push the trot big and he gets fast, he just moves his legs more hectically, it doesn't help me at all. Because the faster the legs move, the tighter the back has to get. That's a good thing and a bad thing, and they do need to learn over time in their training to go faster in the legs versus longer in the stride. They'll try to convince you to not push them when they feel good, right? Because you'll go, look, I'm not fussy, so just leave me alone. And you'll go, I don't want to push at them because I might mess that up. But the more you push, if he gets longer strided, the more you push, the more secure that feeling's going to become. Like, I'm not going to try to work him until I feel like that connection in the top line gives me a stability enough where I could close my leg and close my hand and not think about it. So that might mean, like, you know, the majority of the ride just focused on that feeling for a few days or a few weeks till it gets better and better. And you might find some days it comes and goes. Like, some days you just get on and he's better about it. Other days you get on and he's fussy about it. So the fussy days you spend longer doing this work. The days when he's not, you just get on and slowly put him to work right away. So like I said, with the trot and with the canter, the gait quality is where the looseness lives. I talk a lot about looseness and sometimes about, like, saying the horses have to have a mental calm more than I say or talk about the relaxation. I mean, they do have to relax. But I always find if we just focus, let's say, on one that's a little uptight or a little worried about things, if I say to him, relax, 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 I might never get him connected. I might never get his back working. I might never get him ready for work. But I can get him relaxed. Kind of like going, I could put him in the hot tub or stand him under the heat lights, right? And his back would relax. But that doesn't make him better for me to ride. So what I look at it is, I go, I need a mentally calm, accepting, and becoming loose. And if I get him loose and calm, he becomes relaxed. It's a good natural byproduct. It's part of my process, but it's not the thing that I fixate on with it. So what I look at with that, like I said, with the gait quality is, I'm going, I know in the gait quality, in a sense, as I'm eliciting or pushing or developing kind of a bigger and better quality of gait, the looseness comes out more and more. As I train the trot, if we talk about quality of gait to the trot, like I said, we're talking about the swing, which is a quiet power and ground cover to the trot. So if I get the trot swinging and covering ground, it's going to pull on his body and make his body loose, right? The longer the strides are. Any little moment, whether it's a little kick, a little drive, a little push from the whip, if it's a little swing from your hips, you just keep saying to him, I want an even bigger trot. And like I said, for me, I'm really saying to him, if it takes me 2 hours, if it takes me 6 months, till you connect and you take me down the long side with a nice contact, a loose back, a round top line, letting me put my leg on, letting me close my hand, if it takes me 6 months to get that, I'm going to wait 6 months before I even do another shoulder in. Because without that, the minute I add the shoulder in or the half pass, I'm going to lose it. If I don't have his back up like that, and I ride into that shoulder in, or it could be a half pass or anything, the minute I ride into that, I'm adding workload. I have to close my leg more, close my hand more, so I might disrupt the connection. So I'm really about saying this connection better be solid, better be honest, you better let me ride you up to my hand, and then I'm going to just slowly kind of tiptoe my way into the water of the work and make sure that there's no loss of this swing over the ground. What you should notice too is as you start to get him bigger moving, looser and more ground covering, he should get easier and easier to sit on, right? His back should feel better, less jarring, more swinging, more of the lift. I sometimes go, I don't want to overload him into my hand, but I know once that positive spiral starts to build and cycle, I want to exploit it. I want to keep pushing at it because that growth of the connection is exponential, meaning for every little bit you add, it grows 2 times bigger than the last time. So it kind of grows like a funnel, the way a funnel opens up. Instead of just growing one little bit at a time on a straight line, it grows in all directions. I don't even look at it and go, that's a collected trot or that's a working trot or anything, right? I always look at the gait for the collection level. Like collection at second level is different than collection at pre-St. George, but we still say it's a collected trot, but there are two very different trots, hopefully. So I don't look at it and go, this is the exact collected trot. I just look at it and go, if I'm able to do the work of the level, the work that's required at this stage of training, the gait is collected enough, and or the effect of the work is correct, then the gait is in the right collected state. So like I do that with my young ones where I go, like my baby right now, I sometimes go, we're going to go 4 laps this way, walk break, 4 laps that way, walk break. And I'm going to do it until I feel like when I just pick up the trot, you give me one trot, one steady, consistent feel. Now, I got to help a little bit because I got to balance you in the corners. I got to bend you. I got to keep you soft. I got to remind you on energy and stuff. But I want that feeling that he takes you down the long side or not in a rude way, right? But they take hold of the contact and lead you down the long side. Hours and hours of that. Doesn't have to be hours all at once, right? But over a few weeks, hours. So you just feel again like, okay, I could just pick up the trot after that long break, and he's right back to where I left him off. Keep trying to unite the two ends of his body by saying, I want your hind legs closer to my hand, and I want to be able to close my hand against your swinging hind leg. Good decision, but don't back off. But you want to keep taking the two ends of his body and compressing them together. Huge swinging strides behind that reach way up under his belly. And then the rein slowly becoming shorter. What I refer to a little bit is where you think the contact or your hand works a little bit to block, like a roadblock. It blocks a little bit the length of stride with the front leg. So your hand is just starting to say, maybe not trot quite as ground covering, although I want to push for the ground cover, right? Not thinking that I'm really not covering ground anymore. I still want the trot huge. But I just start to block the teeniest bit in front, which then gives the hind leg a little more chance to swing even further under his belly. Whereas if I let him a little too free in the contact, I'm developing the power, I'm pushing him over the ground, but the front leg's reaching sometimes in the long run too far out, and the top line stays flat. So, and I, like I said, I don't want to overdo it. I want the trot huge, but I want to think about adding arc or a crest or an arch to the top line. So that little bit of block comes into contact. Well, you start to feel as if those two forces align well. If those forces align well, where you're able to take a little bit and keep driving, the trot should become higher off the ground, like you kind of felt the beginning of the long side, right? It should start to climb a little more into the air because you're giving them less freedom to go over the ground. At the same time, then, with the push, you just keep saying to the hind leg, further and further under your belly. Keep thinking every lap, like I do myself, I go, is that at least as good as the last lap? Like every time I'd go past the letter B, I'd go, is that trot a teeny bit bigger or at least as big as the last time I passed B? Because I want to be thinking the ride throughout the ride day to day, I want to be developing that gait to become better and better and better. You want to, like I said, think a little exploitatively. You want to kind of go, if that's feeling good, I'm going to exploit it and try to get a little more. Hours like that, just to get his back strong, get his top line strong, and really get the tensile strength of the connection solid. And I'm not joking when I say hours, like I would log in hours of just going around like that. Not hours with, like, I keep giving them walk breaks. Be fair to them. I don't want to make them lame. I don't need to, you know, exhaust them in that way. But I want to get him in this mindset that he just clicks into a trot like that and just trots for you. Then with that, like when I feel him get to that point where, like I said, they take me, I feel like I come out of the corner and he's not running away, but he takes hold of the contact and he just quietly swings up to my hand and goes on the long side. Then I'll start to go, now I'm going to add like shoulder in. And just make sure he stays trotting like that. Then if he stays trotting once or twice, I might go, now how much bend, how much angle? Let's start to think more about a shoulder in. And if he stays trotting and connecting through that, then I go the haunches in, just a little bit of angle. And if he stays connected through it a little more, going, what's important is not the half pass or the shoulder in. What's important is the quality of trot and the connection.
And our thanks again to Jeremy for this presentation. And a reminder to check the event calendar on the website for a complete list of clinics that are coming up in your area. That's at usdf.org. And whilst you're on the website, be sure to visit eTrack, the USDF's online educational resource. And if you're a new listener to the program, you can download it from the iTunes store as well as listen online by going to the podcast section and looking for USDF. It can then be downloaded to a variety of podcast apps on your tablet and smartphone, including Podbean and Stitcher. Until next week, thank you for listening, and remember that the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.